perfectly all right.
Hi, I'm Trey Sinclair.
I'm Joshua Fernandez.
And my name is Kenny O.
And you're listening to Radioactive.
You know what really sucks? Modern rap. Lil Pump is garbage.
Yeah, man, I remember when rap was good.
Well, if that's the case, what's your favorite era of rap?
I personally grew up listening to early 2000s rap, but I also like listening to some modern rap as well.
Well, rap has gone through a lot of changes over the years.
Why don't we start by looking at how rap is today?
Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang.
Hype beasts, hype beasts, hype beasts. While rappers have always had hype beast-like qualities, and many hype beast brands have existed since the 90s, modern hype beasts have distinguished themselves in recent years for many different reasons. To get some more knowledge on this topic, I contacted a friend of mine who specializes in this area of modern culture.
Some people see a hype beast as someone who follows street culture or more hype clothing or whatever.
Another distinguishing feature of this time period is how the emergence of streaming platforms such as SoundCloud and YouTube have brought the ability to create and share music to millions of aspiring rappers, bringing rap across the world. As a result, streaming platforms have given birth to a distinct type of rap, dubbed SoundCloud rap or mumble rap. Oftentimes, this form of rap goes hand-in-hand with hypebeast culture, as most of the time it promotes hypebeast brands.
Some of the major brands are obviously Supreme, that's the most popular one. There's brands like Bape, and then some brands that are also associated with street culture might be like Gucci or Louis Vuitton, maybe like brands like Stussy.
However, despite how narrow the subject matter of modern rap seems to be, the internet has allowed for rap to cover topics and experiment in ways that were previously impossible with traditional record labels.
I can't remember a time without the hypebeast.
Well, the early 2000s. In the early 2000s, there was an increase of crunk and snap music, which is a combination of rap and aggressive electronic beats. The instrumentals of the song gave a more aggressive feeling to the song and less focus on the lyrics. There was also glitch hop that combined glitchy electronic music and hip-hop culture together, where a producer combined electronic beats with hip-hop influences to create a unique glitchy-sounding hip-hop instrumental. The creation of these beats eventually led to the creation of the hip-hop subgenre called trap. Because of the increase of popularity of rap music at the time, rap started to become more mainstream. I personally really enjoy many songs in the early 2000s. They included electronic beats, and it was also the era I grew up listening to. During this time period, there was an increase of non-black rappers that started to become more popular in the hip-hop scene. One of the most popular non-black rappers at the time was Eminem. His real name is Marshall Bruce Mathers III. His music followed the same style of production as the current time period, as shown in his song The Real Slim Shady, as he mixed instrumentals with electronic beats to make one of the most popular songs of the 2000s. And The Real Slim Shady had glitchy instrumentals that was popular at the time. And because of this, rap started to include people of more varying backgrounds besides African American. Eminem broke the stereotype that rappers had to be African-American with his popular hip-hop songs.
Man, that era was garbage. What's the best era?
You already know, it had to be the Golden Age. The Golden Age of rap is said to be characterized by its quality, innovation, and influence. It also went on during the birth of gangster rap. The Golden Age is not only important to music history, but also to American history. The Golden Era set trends that still go on today, and for me, if I didn't listen to this era, I'd be a different person. I didn't grow up in this era of rap because it went on from 1985 to 1995, but it includes some of my favorite artists, so that's why I choose to enjoy it. We saw artists such as Slick Rick, Tupac, and many more. Now to get into my favorite artist of all time, Tupac Shakur. I've been a Tupac fan since I was in 6th grade, and I'm headed to 10th now. My favorite album would probably be Me Against the World, with songs such as If I Die Tonight, Me Against the World, Outlaw, and Heavy in the Game. Tupac was known for the messages he put through his music, like what changes he thought would make the world a better place. For me, he's relatable. A lot of his music made me stop and think about not just my life, but the world as a whole. A lot of people ask me what's my favorite Tupac song. I'd say Me Against the World because it gives multiple images in my head, and I feel that some of the words in that song are still relative to today. Tupac's life was short-lived, however, as he was shot in 1996 in Vegas. Many people believe he's still alive. Honestly, to me, whoever he is, dead or alive, I hope he's taking care of himself. Grabbed the pregnant lady and pulled out the automatic. Pointed at her head, he said the gun was full of lead. He told the cops, back off, for honey is dead. Deep in his heart, he knew he was wrong, so he let the lady go. And Slick Rick was a rapper who released his first album in 1988. And off that album, I like Children's Story, which is a song that was played earlier. And that song is a story he's reading to his niece and nephew. It's about a teen who goes down the wrong path of stealing and running from the police. And by the end of the song, the boy gets shot. As bad as it sounds, there's a deeper message to me. He was only one teen in a madman's dream. The cop shot the kid, and I still hear his scream. This ain't funny, so don't you dare laugh. Just another case about the wrong path. That was a quote from the song. To me, this song is for young teens and about some of the things they were going through at the time. It's a really good song, and I recommend it to anyone who hasn't heard it.
Yeah, there's a lot about Slick Rick and Tupac, whatever. But where did rap really start?
This is Apache, and even if you haven't heard all of it, there's a good chance you've heard this section. It's a legendary sample, and it was popularized by this DJ, DJ Kool Herc. Herc is also often cited as the first DJ and the father of hip-hop. I was still curious about his role in rap's origin, so I got in touch with Dave Sandlin, the owner of Neptune Music Company Record Store.
Most of us think of hip-hop as, you know, when sampling began.
It started when Kool Herc was DJing a party, and he was waiting for the record to end. He then discovered that he could switch between the instrumental breaks of several different songs in order to make a beat which people could dance to, a process he called the merry-go-round, which would effectively become one of the cornerstones of rap, looping. After looping songs for a while, Kool Herc learned that talking is an important part of keeping a loop fresh. Enter Coke LaRock, a good friend of Kool Herc, who would be the first MC and spit what many consider to be the very first bar. It was in 1973 for Herc's sister's birthday, and it goes, "There's not a man that can't be thrown, not a horse that can't be rode, a bull that can't be stopped. There's not a disco that I, Coke LaRock, can't rock." After this, rap exploded. You could find a rapper on every street corner. But it wouldn't be until 1979 that the first rap song would be commercially released, King Tim III, Personality Jock. You just clap your hands and you stomp your feet, cause you're listening to the sound of the shows you need. I'm the K-I-N-G, the G-I-M, King Tim. Despite this, rap wouldn't truly hit the mainstream until a few months later, with the release of Rapper's Delight. I said a hit. In this era, rap pretty much dealt with good times and partying, as it was originally created for. Many others also saw hip-hop as a way to break free of the gang violence that had plagued the Bronx for years. Because of this, some rappers saw the influence they had as an opportunity to deliver a message to the youth, and what better place to start than with the message by Grandmaster Flash. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise,
got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. That's probably, you know, a huge part of what made hip-hop have legs and still be around, was it became something more than just some funny novelty, and it became a description of, you know, real life for people.
Rap music has been through many changes throughout history, and because of this, it still contains strong cultural roots. Do you like the path where rap is going? What was your favorite era of rap and why? Let us know your answers on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter at KUOW Radioactive. If you like what you heard, subscribe to our Radioactive podcast on iTunes. We'd like to give a special thanks to our interviewees, Alec Gabbert and Dave Sandlin. our mentor Aaliyah Musaliar, and our editor Ann Kane.